is Finn, the blushing baby. His cheeks are bright and red. Be sure to make fun of him before you go to bed. He's Finn, the blushing baby. His cheeks are bright and red. Be sure to make fun of him before you go to bed.
Grandfathers will sing that to their grandchildren for generations to come.
It has nothing to do with gas. It's any water can do that.
What?
Yeah. That's why, like, after it rains, there's a rainbow.
That sounds called... like science! Someone's a nerd!
That's why it's called a rainbow, jackass.
Whatever! Let's start this thing!
Hello, lovelorn lady geese and rhyming entrepreneurial geese. And welcome to Banana Phone, episode 8 of Flooping the Pig. I'm your favorite overzealous woodland bear, Brad Garoon. And with me, as always, is a puppy who's as sick as a dog, Justin Houston. And an over-armored antagonist, Kevin Ford. Today, we're firmly in Season 2 of Adventure Time, tackling episodes 29 through 32. So, Justin, the man who just learned how a rainbow works, kick us off with a rundown of Loyalty to the King.
Yeah, Loyalty to the King is sort of more sad Ice King nonsense, where Finn and Jake save Engagement Ring Princess, who's suffering from some sort of trauma from being locked up for so long. And Ice King thinks he's left, and he's feeling down, and he's sick of looking at his face, so he shaves his beard off. He gets into shape, you know, he feels better about himself. And because of something that Slime Princess mishears, he starts calling himself Nice King, because Lumpy Space Princess is a crazy gossip, and all the princesses are seemingly. It spreads pretty quickly. There's a Nice King in town, and he ends up sort of courting them all with Finn and Jake's help. And Jake is just okay treating the princesses terribly, or just, like, ruthlessly, like Simon Cowell-esque on American Idol.
Hey, nice nights. Turtle Princess is about to walk out that door. I told her that I like her a lot, but I really don't like her all that much. Could you guys break it off for me?
The Nice King is not looking for a relationship right now.
Get out of here!
Where there's just no love lost. And with Finn, it's just all empathy. He just feels terrible that these poor princesses keep going away crying because Jake and Finn, to an extent, reject them for Ice King. And in the end, they figure out what he did, and they beat him up. And there's some terrible, like, joke at the end. I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of pun.
Now that's what I call a close shave.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I wrote that one down.
That's the ending. So it was. I like this one a lot. I pretty much like every episode that's heavy on the Ice King because he's just super enjoyable.
It is about you, so.
You think so?
Wait, how many characters can he be?
He's the Ice King and he's Jake. That's it.
I was on the subway coming home from work today with a friend, and I tried doing an Ice King. And this friend listens to Flooping the Pig. And I tried doing an Ice King impression, and she goes, "Are you an old man from New Jersey? Let Justin keep doing the Ice King impression."
Ah, I like it.
Or maybe I said that. Either way, Justin's Ice King impression was brought up.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
That's great.
I will say this, though. The episode is anti-beard, just a little.
Yeah, I don't like that. My beard has grown glorious. Yes. Over the last few days. And,
as a bearded man now with a curly mustache, I must say this was somewhat offensive.
Pixar, it doesn't exist.
What?
I'm talking about, I don't believe you until you post a picture of your curly mustache.
You did.
Oh.
You did?
When he cut his hair, he posted a picture, and the curly mustache is evident.
Is it on Twitter?
Yeah.
I'm sure
I'm going now.
At Justin J. Houston on Twitter, as I pad the audio while Brad is currently away.
I'm still here.
Is it like ridiculous, like prospector level of curly?
It's getting there. Yeah, I actually had to trim it because it was getting nuts. Like, it was impeding personal time between me and my lady.
You know who you kind of look like in this photo with your curly mustache? Have you watched Deadwood?
I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
Well, there is a television program. There used to be, called Deadwood.
Program.
And it was a program, and it was on the Home Box Office Network. And there was a gentleman on that show whose name I can't remember, but he was the principal on Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and then he was on Deadwood as a mustachioed man who looks just like this photo of you with the curly mustache. Then he went on to become a pedophile, and he's, I believe, either in prison or just blacklisted from Hollywood now.
It's a fun association.
So welcome to that club.
Yeah, I used to get Kevin Smith a lot.
I don't really see that.
That's insulting.
I never did either. I've been mistaken for Jonah Hill, like actually mistaken for Jonah Hill. And what? I got, when my beard was just completely crazy, Zach Galifianakis.
That I could see.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I could definitely see Galifianakis. I can't see Jonah Hill or Kevin Smith.
I just really, the Jonah Hill thing, I just disappointed a bank teller. Like, faced it up and then like squinted and went, "Oh, you're not Jonah Hill," she says out loud. And I'm like,
it's
no,
so
I'm
weird
not.
That you say that, because I lost my credit card once and I went to the bank to get a new one, and he looked at my driver's license, the teller, and then he looked at me and he's like, "Are you? No, wait, what? You're both Brad?" And that's where my Bradley Cooper obsession began.
You do look remarkably like Bradley Cooper.
I've always thought that, like, of all the celebrities, just from, there's one photo in particular, I was like, it's exactly like Bradley Cooper. It's amazing.
I am very, very, very handsome. So thank
and
you guys.
Very modest, apparently.
All so my associations told someone... are like fat comedians and pedophiles. This is not good.
I told someone at work today that I'm an egomaniac. So there is that.
There you go. By the way, we're on the topic of Jonah Hill for a second. Wolf of Wall Street is a movie you should all go see.
I did not like it.
Oh, I loved it. I totally loved it.
I was really bored.
Oh, get out of here.
I didn't have a lot of people are saying they had a problem with the moral message. That didn't bother me. I was just bored. You know, I'll tell you when I decided I didn't like it, and then we can get back to Adventure Time.
Okay.
The first scene of the movie is a little person being thrown into like a foam wall or something, right?
Yeah, like a big targeting board thing.
Right. So we've seen this happen. Then later on in the movie, we spend 5 full minutes with the group talking about how they're going to do what we already saw them do. And all I could think was, this is a huge waste of time. I don't need this scene in a padded movie. You know the movie was originally 4 hours long?
No, I didn't know that.
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine.
All of his movies, every Scorsese film, he's like, here you go. And it's like, it's 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
I'm honestly not a Scorsese fan. Like modern stuff.
I'm starting to get there, dude. I actually, to be honest, I haven't like crazy, unbelievably loved anything since Gangs of New York.
I didn't even super care for that.
Oh, I like that one a lot. But I'm a big Daniel Day-Lewis mark.
Mark throwing out the wrestling terms on this podcast.
Yes, sir. Speaking of wrestling, I thought that I kind of liked this episode with Ice King wrestling with Finn and Jake over whether or not he was really the Ice King or the Nice King. It wasn't like a super important episode or anything, but you did get to see a little bit more of how Ice King is just lonely and just wants to see, my impression is terrible, and just wants to be happy. But I like that ending a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I like how LSP was aplenty in this episode. I did like when, I guess it is does kind of point out that there's a lot of princesses in this universe, but not a lot of princes or kings. And so when a king comes along that people can marry, the princes all get really desperate for their affection, just like now.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't want to spoil anything. I don't know how much of a spoiler it is, but in a recent episode, a recent season 5 episode, a new king was mentioned, but as a really weird aside. And you know what I'm talking about, Justin, in the Tree Trunks episode?
I do, yes. And yeah, it is sort of, you feel like it's going to lead to something bigger because what he's king of is as broad as it gets. So it's not like he's like, you know, Leaf King or something.
And where has he been this whole time?
Right. And that's the strange thing. Whenever they introduce a character that like everyone knows, even in a cartoon, I'm like, where has he been? He didn't show up to the party. What happened?
Right. So that all happened. I did. But speaking of LSP, I did like how much how much punishment she was willing to give herself in order to get the Nice King.
Yeah, I also like that, though. I forget which princess it was, but they just said, like, they were screaming to the Nice King, "Did I tell you that I like opera? But if you don't, I hate it."
I think it's Slime Princess on her way out.
Is it? I thought she was in the cage.
Maybe it's Engagement Ring Princess. Save me, Finn and Jake!
I also like when Ice King, when the Slime Princess was laughing, and he was just like, "All right, is someone paying you to do this?" I can relate. Womp womp. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's sad.
I was joking. It was funny, though.
I've seen this a couple times, and one thing that I missed the first few times was in the tower when it's just him and three princesses. He's standing on one, and he's like propping himself up on two other, and he's just having them walk in a circle.
Yeah, you missed that? It was like right in the center of the scene.
I mean, I don't want to say I missed it, but it was like it didn't impact me that he's not doing anything. Like, what is he doing at that exact moment? I don't know why, but it just didn't hit me until this episode. It's just sort of abstract and strange. It's not something like accidentally inherently sexual like lots of other things on this show.
No, he just wanted to be adored and respected. You know, speaking of people who want to be respected. Finn really wanted to be respected for his armor in the episode Blood Under the Skin, in which he gets a splinter in his big finger, his pointer finger, and decides that he's way too exposed to the elements. So he goes to get armor for his finger from Choose Goose, a merchant. I think he's a merchant.
I feel like Justin could do a good Choose Goose impression.
Do it, Justin.
Well, I'd have to rhyme something.
Oh, fair.
That's the problem. So
you can't just think of rhymes on your own?
Give him some time. Why don't you recap the episode and we'll come back.
Okay, let me finish. Yeah, so Choose Goose gives Finn a thimble for his finger, and Finn is super excited that his finger is now impenetrable. But he runs afoul of a group of more armored Ulians. What do you call the citizens of Ooh?
I like Ulians. That's good.
Ulians? Yeah, I wanted to say Uvians, but that's too close to Doctor Who and Whovians, and I don't...
The Ooligans?
Ooh, I like Ooligans. I like Ooligans. Let's go with that. Let's go with Ooligans. Copyright Flooping the Pig. He runs afoul of these Ooligans, armored, and shows that he's really proud of his thimble, and they laugh at him. And then, I forget the character's name.
Are you talking about Sir Slicer?
I'm talking about Sir Slicer! Sir Slicer shows up, and he is the most armored and amazing man there is, and he speaks in a very interesting European accent.
Good luck exposing your soft vanilla strawberry skin to the elements, dork. Later, losers.
And he's got armor that's very... Did that sound come through?
Yes, it did.
Okay, good. And
I love that.
And Finn wants armor that's more... But all the armor that Choose Goose offers him is embarrassed. Like, this whole episode is about Finn being embarrassed. It's armor for his butt, which makes Finn embarrassed because he's, I think right now he's 12 in the show. And so everything embarrasses him. So armor for his butt embarrasses him. What was the other armor that embarrassed him?
Well, the one he wins at the end is like female armor. So he doesn't like that.
You are so jumping the gun right now.
Well, I didn't know if there was one before that. I'm sorry.
I think Choose Goose offered him two. Anyway, one's butt armor. One is a different kind of armor, but
it was a boot, right? I think it was a boot.
Right. It was a metal shoe in case he stubs his toe.
Yeah.
And they're you stub your toe. Ha ha ha. Anyway, so Finn goes on a mission to get this very famous armor called the Armor of Zeldron. Yeah. And man, we are good today. This armor is the most of all armors. So Finn goes on a mission to get it, but the mission to get it forces him to do all these incredibly embarrassing things. And I love the way that Adventure Time lets you know that Finn's embarrassed because he gets like the Japanese animation embarrassed flushed cheeks.
Yes. Or whole flushed face, really.
Right, which happens a lot in this episode. So he has to go through a forest full of people bathing, which embarrasses him.
Like a shower curtain cave is what I called it.
It's very cool. And then at the very end, he has to play drop ball with a ghost. Drop ball is literally when you drop a ball on the ground and pick it up with your butt. And Finn can't even fathom how horrifying this is. It's also really, the whole thing's really strange. The ghost's record is 6, and Finn has to beat it. And he would literally rather just kill the ghost. Yeah. He's like, let's just murder this guy rather than endure this embarrassment. Eventually he gets the armor, and it is Lady Armor, and he's so humiliated. But Sir Slicer shows up, and Jake is not humiliated about it. Oh, also the ghost turns into a crazy evil ghost, and they have to stop both of them. And the moral of the story is Sir Slicer is actually kind of a wuss.
Yeah, they make fun of him for falling around a kid all day. And right. He gets all embarrassed about it. And then he gets a splinter. That's pretty right. Good.
And he falls off his horse and can't get up. J-Ho, do you have your impression ready?
Oh, yeah. All right. So another thing about Choose Goose is that sometimes, because rhyming's hard, he can't do it exactly. So in that spirit, I wrote... the episode I enjoyed, even though that goose annoyed me.
That's great. But now I feel like I might be able to do a good Choose Goose impression because his voice reminds me of an impression I did of an old boss I used to have. And I called him the Mad Hatter because he was this like 6 foot tall, flamboyant, such a jerk. But I would always, every time, and he would never work, and we would do so much work for him. We were running a summer camp. And every time he rolled up in his golf cart, I would imagine he rolled up with a giant top hat on and going like, change places, move down. And that's kind of Choose Goose's voice.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do a Choose Goose impression. I'm embarrassed.
You see, you are Finn.
Your whole face is flush red.
You have no idea how red I am right now.
So red.
Did you like this episode, Kevin?
Yeah, that was all right. It wasn't an amazing episode or anything, but it was pretty fun. Again, you commented before that any episode that really is an adventure is pretty fun, and this was just Finn and Jake going on an adventure. Mostly Finn, though. And then the ending was so weird when Jake picks up Finn with his butt like he was doing drop ball and throws him on his back to fly away. And you can even tell Finn was like, "Haha, all right, like, let's not do that again."
Right. I feel like this armor comes back. I don't remember when, but I think it makes a return at some point.
It does. I don't remember when either. It may just be a reference to that event, like something to do with the last time they went after or tried to get armor. It went horribly. I don't remember exactly what it was, but still impacts them. And this impacts their relationship with Choose Goose, too, who they don't 100% trust after this.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Finn just talks about the armor of Zeldron when he sees Choose Goose because of it.
Right.
And now that I think about it, it's in the comic book a little bit. But that said, who's living near a train track right now?
Me.
Oh, that sounds annoying, man. I'm sorry that has to happen to you.
It's only weird when it's one of those quiet ones. I've probably said this a billion times on podcasts, but it sounds like a transformer sneaking up on you.
It's really weird. I don't like those movies.
I don't think you ever said that on a podcast either.
Really? It's this light machine noise, and you just get a sense that this giant, like, iron giant, like, robot is just sort of sneaking up to your house. So those are kind of creepy. But the loud stuff, I barely pay attention to it now unless it's on TV. Like, the TV's going and it's something important. Where it's just like, I can't believe you murdered train. So, and you have no idea who just got murdered.
There was a Vin Diesel joke to be made somewhere in there. You said Iron Giant. Let's just pretend that what I'm talking about matters. I need a segue. While train noises might make Justin feel sick, storytelling episodes could do just the trick. That was terrible.
What a segue.
That was good. I thought that was really good.
The next episode is storytelling. And in this episode, Kevin, why don't you take us through it? I recap the last one.
Sure thing. So we start the episode and Jake is really sick and kind of a baby about it. Exactly how Justin would probably be if he were sick.
Oh.
And he wants Finn to tell him a story.
Tell me a story.
Once upon a time.
No, I already heard that story before.
But I guess Finn has already exhausted all of his stories and Jake wants to hear something new. So Finn decides to go outside in the exploration to try to find a new story for him. And the first thing he sees is the snail falling down on a leaf. The snail, who's in all the episodes. They even call him the snail. So I guess that's how they know him in Ooh. But that story's not very interesting. He goes and tells Jake that and Jake sends him out again. So he goes into the forest finding all these animals trying to find some interesting story to tell. And Finn's kind of a dick in this episode. He gets like this goose and fox and he tries to make them kiss and forces them to kiss each other. And they all feel really bad about it because the female goose really likes a guy goose. And the fox likes the girl goose and he just found out that she doesn't like him and that makes him all sad. He tries to fight this bear, like this child bear who was spray painting bear on a car or something. He envisions himself smashing this bird's nest with baby birds in it just for the sake of getting his friend a story. So eventually he gets attacked by all of these animals and he wakes up and he's in this stick cage with all the animals who are going to punish him by luring him to some vortex pit thing so he can become one with the earth. But he ends up talking to the animals to try to make their lives better and then he's free to go. But now he has a good story to go tell his sick buddy Jake back there. I enjoyed it. I thought the cow udder that they had, the woman have, that was really weird, was super weird. It's like a guy's face or something.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a little behind-the-scenes look at Flooping the Pig right now, audience. But last week, we had to record the podcast three times because of technical difficulties. And in one of the unaired versions of the podcast, we talked about that face because that face shows up a lot. That face is the face that's used to summon Marceline's dad. That's the face that face is on a person in the City of Thieves. It like the snail is in every episode, this face is in a lot of episodes. It's a hidden thing. And I believe it's Adam Mudo's face, who's one of the people behind Adventure Time.
Gotcha. But yeah, they just revealed like this, because one of the things they try to do is this female, or I guess all cows are female. This cow had a bag over her udder and he said, "You're beautiful. You don't need to wear that there." And then she takes it off and it's like some weird twisted looking face on the udder and everyone decides, "No, you should probably wear that bag still."
Do you really feel that Finn was a dick in this episode? I feel like he was really frustrated because on the one hand, he had to help Jake, who's his best friend, who he would do anything for, including eat dirt. And on the other hand, he knew that he was, you know, messing up the forest.
I think shoving two unwilling people together to kiss is a pretty big dick move.
It was messed up, and he was obviously upset about it, and it was a very hard scene to watch. But I think that his struggle with doing these things, and he actually had a fight with himself at one point about it, I think that shows that he's not really a dick.
He was acting like a dick.
I just think he was young and trying to figure out what was right and couldn't quite get there on his own.
All right, well, you know what, Finn? Shoving animals together to kiss, not okay.
All right, I won't do it again.
Thank you.
I think this is the first example of Finn dabbling and playing God, which gets explored in later episodes. Probably the next time they really do it is an episode called All the Little People, which is really good, and it takes it almost literally. But when you're growing up, part of growing up is learning where those boundaries are, and especially if you're someone like the three of us with a sense of humor. A lot of it is learning reach and learning how far you can take something, and most of the time you learn how far you can take something by doing something and then having it just like smack back in your face, or just being horribly embarrassed, or doing it all wrong. And I feel like that's part of this. He's in this world that anything's possible. So, you know, forcing them to do that might not necessarily seem unreasonable to him, but clearly in the end, when he's giving everyone advice, he probably has some better understanding that that was wrong. Also, Booba Fina is a ridiculous name.
I love it. Love it.
That is, I don't even know what origin that could possibly be, other than just like some six-year-old boy spouting out a name. But the other part of this episode that I really like is the stuff with, I really like Mr. Fox, who doesn't show up very often. This is his first appearance, and I think he's in two other episodes, both really good episodes. And he's, I don't know if it's just the cadence, the way he talks or what it is, but I really like Mr. Fox, and this is his first episode.
So I want to go back a few seconds, and I know I said this in a previous episode, and I said it in this episode, and I want to apologize. Oh, I'm looking at my pants right now, and they did not do a good job of fixing a little rip. Shoddy work. Anyway, sorry. It's not Adam Mudo's face. It's called the Phil face, and it's based on Phil Rinda. Yeah, anyway, that. Booba Fina. I wanted to maybe look up some trivia about where her name came from, but I don't know how important that is.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's that important. But
hey, man, everything's important, though, no?
I'd like to think so, but we live in a world where kids are born and they're just given whatever the first superlative. Like myself and my girlfriend was just joking that our first kid, we should definitely name him Wonderful Luminous Houston.
That's definitely
the way to go.
Oh, you have a stepdaughter? Kind of thing going on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not your daughter.
No.
It is your daughter, but she is kind of the crux of the show, because we see how children like the show mostly through her eyes. Although I will say, I watched the new episode Betty with my brother, who's 8, and we both loved the crap out of it.
It's amazing, and it's one of those that, again, it's going to be so long from now that we talk about it, but it's going to be so worth the wait.
I looked up the Phil face that you're talking about, Phil Linda.
Yeah.
And the first picture that came up to me was a picture of, in the movie theater, it's Lumpy Space Princess texting next to Phil, like a cartoon character version of him, who's crying and it like has weird hair on him and is smiling.
Yeah, he shows up a lot.
I can't wait to get to whatever episode this is.
Speaking of episodes, the next episode. What the fuck?
Did you just give up on segues?
I just think we've had a little bit of technical difficulty on this episode too. We need to get to the fourth episode.
You know what, Brad? I really miss Biz Markie.
Okay, so you're Biz Markie. Speaking of Biz Markie.
There you go.
Sorry. Speaking of Biz Markie, he provides the voice for Snorlock, a snail in love, a seeming snail in love in the episode Slow Love, in which BMO is once again disappointing Finn and Jake. And before they have a chance to really punish him too much, although I do like Jake treating him like a dog.
Yeah, it's very ironic.
Snorlock busts through the house, completely jacks up the place, hijacks the house as his shell, and recruits Finn and Jake to teach him how to talk to the ladies, because he is oh so lonely and full of sad juice that he is squirting all over the place. Finn teaches him sword tricks, Jake teaches him how to beatbox, and as such, he attracts many snail women. But then things go bad when the snail women start destroying the treehouse even more, And Finn and Jake get the treehouse off of Snorlock and show that he is actually a slug. And that's why he was having so much trouble with the snail ladies. And he finds a slug lady, and then they make out a ton, and it's all quite graphic.
I love this episode. I thought it was really fun. I thought Biz Markie killed it as Snorlock in this. Just a really fun character. I really liked Jake and Finn role-playing on how to help him talk to ladies. I thought it was one of Jake's finer roles.
And also Finn being so embarrassed and not being able to handle it.
Yeah, there's a lot of embarrassed Finn in this few episodes we have here. I really enjoyed Snorlock's beatboxing game, which got him all the ladies. Because it makes sense that Biz Markie would come in for a character to be good at that. I also like when they were going to go help him out, they decided it was lady time, and we got a big lady time graphic on the TV. It was so weird at the ending. It was really uncomfortable watching BMO just enjoying watching this two slugs make out and then getting just oozed with all their juice all over him. It was an odd and creepy ending.
It was quite gnarly. I'm trying to find, I'm reading, you know, there. If y'all didn't know, you can find transcripts of every single episode on the Adventure Time Wiki. AdventureTime.wikia.com, which is one of the best websites on the internet. And I just need to know, for my own edification, is that what that means, edification? I need to know what BMO was. Oh, she's going, go, 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 go to them as they made out. Gross.
BMO, you sicko.
He/she. We don't, to this day, we still don't know what gender BMO is.
They sort of, I feel like they sort of change it up. Different characters address. I always say her, but address her in a different way. Who knows?
It's funny. I think of BMO as a boy, but then when I hear it talk, I think of it as a girl.
Right. I think it lends to the idea that BMO's just BMO. It's intended to be androgynous. But one of the things that I love about this is it's sort of a trend with a lot of other John DiMaggio stuff, is that I think one of the reasons, maybe not written this way, but John DiMaggio is a like a beatboxer. Like, he's a fan of beatboxing. He is really good at it. If you hear beatboxing in the show with Jake, that is actually John DiMaggio doing it. So this might have just been sort of an excuse to get he and Biz Markie to do some beatboxing, which is amazing.
I mean, Biz Markie, the last thing I remember seeing him in before this was Men in Black 2, where he beatboxed to as like part of his alien language.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was a pretty okay episode. I actually didn't love it, but I do like when they get special guests to do voices, so I dug that.
And he was really good.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he kind of sounded like Kevin Richardson, Kevin Michael Richardson, who does, he does a lot of stuff. I thought it was him at first, so I was kind of prepared to go on here and say that was not Biz Markie, but it totally was, so.
Justin, I watched Uncle Grandpa for the first time over the weekend. Who is Kevin Michael Richardson on that show?
He's the big lizard.
Okay. And for those who don't remember from a previous episode, he played Donnie on Adventure Time.
Right.
There you go.
Oh, shoot. There was something I wanted to ask. What did you guys think of the way that I bleeped out the swear word on the last episode? Kevin didn't listen to it, and I'm guessing Justin didn't either.
I didn't.
Was there a swear word?
There was a swear word. I forget which one of us said it, and I actually bleeped it with a bleep. For the first time.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
My girl did mention that this show is, of all the shows that podcasts I do, it's the most polished.
Oh, tell her I said thank you.
So I will. I don't think she knows who edits it. So.
Well, that's okay. Does she even? I don't think she knows who I am. I guess she listens to the show. So
she mixes you guys up all the time.
What?
Be like,
we look and sound almost exactly the same. I know.
She knows your personal histories and how I know you, but she gets the names wrong.
That's okay.
So she'll be like, is Kevin buried in New York? And I'll be like, no, that's
Does
that's
she not
Brad.
Listen to Viva Chikara?
And be like, yeah, she does too.
So that's weird that she mixes us up still.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible, but she still does. It's really funny. But
well, I appreciate her listening to it anyway.
Yes, she supports all my ridiculous endeavors.
That's really nice of her. You know what else I think is really nice?
What?
Hashtag snail search.
It's time for the hashtag snail search, everybody. So let's go through them. Loyalty to the King. When LSP barges into the Nice King's house and is going to punch herself into smoothness, the snail's just on the floor by the door when she kicks it open and comes in. In Blood Under the Skin, when Finn is finding himself in the shower curtain cave, there's one time where he opens it and it's a mother and her infant, and the snail is right down by the shower there. Storytelling's an easy one. The snail's on the leaf coming down from the sky twice. I mean, duh. Believe me, I looked for another additional snail in the episode, and there isn't one. So they just made it obvious for all.
See, that one's a real tricky one because they it makes you think that it's so obvious that there's another one, but it isn't. It's like a double fake out.
See,
so
you say that sounds stupid, but that's actually what I thought.
So, guys, nobody watches the show the way Kevin does. If it's there, if it's on the screen, that's the snail. The idea is just that the snail is in every episode, period.
Okay, fine. Well, in Slow Love, when Jake...
Except City of Thieves.
Well, yes, there's a BS snail in that one.
Right.
When Jake and Finn are doing the role-playing on the boat to try to teach Snorlock how to talk to female snails, there's a table on their boat, and the snail is there. Also, I almost called them Snorlax.
Yeah, I actually thought that when the episode was happening. I thought about the Snorlax. So speaking of not Pokemon or anything we've been talking about, except for Snorlock, I'm going to talk about special guest voices because I really like them. In Loyalty to the King, I'm starting to wonder if I should even include Maria Bamford and what's his name, Stuart Little? Is it Stuart Little? That's not right.
Stephen Little.
Stephen Little, because they're on so many episodes. But Bamford and Little both played various princesses. In Blood Under the Skin, Peter Stormare played Sir Slicer, which was very cool. For those of you who don't know who Peter Stormare is, he is the creepy guy in anything you've ever seen. Or more specifically, I don't know why this is the first thing that's popping into my mind. He's the devil in Constantine, but more iconically, he is one of the kidnappers in Fargo.
Yeah, he's in a lot of Coen Brothers films, and he's also the best part of some terrible movies.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And Steve Little played his minstrel, whose music I believe I'm using as the entrance theme music for this episode.
Entrance theme.
In storytelling, Booba Fina is played by Bamf, which is what I'm calling Marie Bamford. And in The Forest Wizard is played by Penn Ward, who previously, I believe, had only played Lumpy Space Princess. And then in Slow Love, Biz Markie, as we said, is Snorlock. Maria Bamford is one of the snail ladies, or two of the snail ladies. I believe her name is Nikki Yang, maybe? She's the voice of BMO. She's also the voice of two of the snail ladies. She's also the voice of Lady Rainicorn. And then Jeremy Shada, the voice of Finn, does the slug lady. So that's a little voice.
Did they change the person who does the voice of LSP?
No, it's Penn Ward.
It's always been Penn Ward?
Yeah.
Because I feel like LSP sounds dramatically different in her first episode than she does in other episodes.
Yeah, but I just think that so does Finn, but he just got older.
Oh.
Jake actually also sounds different in the beginning than he does later on.
Penn might just have refined his LSP impression or something, I don't know.
Or just maybe. Changes. I mean, it changes over time, you know, you find a lot of it is just finding that sweet spot where you can either do the voice or you work from that point. So that's a lot of it.
Right. It's called the clitoris, what you're talking about.
Oh, is that what that is?
The ever-elusive throat clitoris.
Oh, my God. It's Twitter time, Justin.
I have more to plug than just Twitter for the first time in, like, years. Justin J. Houston is my Twitter, and it's where I tweet things, and I'm actually doing this not monotone-like.
Damn it.
Which, by the way, the reference that the voice I was doing was Orlando Jones in Office Space. Yeah, when he's selling magazines.
Yes.
I didn't do it intentionally. I just, when you guys try to guess it after the show, I was like, oh, that's Orlando Jones. I have a new column now on PW Ponderings. It's called Rubbed Raw. It's a WWE column, and it's a recap show and whatever I want it to be, because that's just what they're allowing me to do now. So
it's really fun. I liked it.
Rubbed Raw, every Monday after Raw.
On Twitter, I am at KFord13. Also, please be sure to be following at PW Ponderings on Twitter so you can figure out when this show comes out, as well as Justin's article. It all gets published there. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio to PWP Podcasts. In addition to this show, you can find my fan-to-fan podcast, which gets published on most every Friday. New episode this week. Well, it already aired, because these go out of order. But point is, there's a new episode up there, so check out for that and other future installments of the Fan to Fan podcast and Flooping the Pig there. Brad.
You can find me on Garoongate, twitter.com/Garoongate. You can find me on Twitter.com, Twitter. Tinder? You used to be able to find me on Tinder, but I actually find that app quite annoying. You can find me on Hinge or OkCupid. You can also find me on Twitter at Burger Weekly, and you can find this podcast on DG Cool Kids Table. But I'm starting to realize that there's a good chance that Twitter feed is just never going to really be a thing.
Yep, it's because you stopped watching Dragon Gate.
Yeah, but I don't know that I would have done much with it had I watched Dragon Gate. I mean, you were the one who created the damn thing.
Yeah, fair enough. Follow it anyways, though.
Yeah, follow it, and whatever you do, keep flooping the pig.
I floop the pig.